There's a built-in ambiguity in religious life. It's an ambiguity that on the surface seems innocuous. Though it's interesting in an academic sort of way, it also has serious repercussions in the life of the church. It has also serious repercussions in the life of the believer. The ambiguity that I want to talk about today can be seen in the way that we use the word faith. If I were to encourage you in a time of crisis to have faith in God, you would understand that I would be encouraging you to put your trust in God. Right? Just have faith. So to be a person of faith means that we have this deep trust. Right? God will take care of us. God will provide for us. God will bless us. God will do all that God says God will do, if we just have faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." Just trust in God. And that's the way we use the word sometimes. But sometimes we use the word to mean belief. To be a person of faith. In a sense, what that means is that we take what we believe seriously. We are people of faith. We believe in this God. We believe that God will provide for us, take care of us. But not only that, this is what we believe in our faith. And sometimes we extend the meaning, include the content of what we believe. We speak of the faith, or we talk about the Christian faith. And the ambiguity that I have in mind has to do with faith is trust or faith is belief. Now, it's a distinction that we make in English, but it's not made in the Greek New Testament. When you read any text of Scripture and the word faith is used, pistis, pistuo, it's just faith. Doesn't say trust, doesn't say belief, it just says faith. They had a double meaning for the same word. It used both meanings. And so we read the Scripture and it leaves us sometimes in a bit of a quandary. When the Bible says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," does it mean trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does it mean believe certain things about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you getting this? This means yes, this means no. Are you getting this? Are you with me? You with me? So, does it mean that we just trust in Jesus and everything will be okay? Or does it mean that we have to believe the right things about Jesus? And that is what faith involves. Like, he's the Son of God, born of a virgin, that he died for our sins. I could go on. Can't tell by looking at the word on the page. That's my point. Now, we have dealt with the ambiguity, and it's at the very center of what it means to be a Christian. Basically, I suggest we follow Yogi Berra's sage advice. You remember what Yogi Berra says when you come to a fork in the road? Take it. Yeah. When we come into the fork in the road, take it. Some of us go one way and some of us go the other. To some of us, stereotypically, those who we would call conservatives, what one believes is of utmost importance. In the old SBC, seminary professors were required to sign doctrinal statements. In the new SBC, they're also required to sign doctrinal statements. It was and it is critical to be doctrinally sound, doctrinally pure, if you will. The concern for doctrine leads us to make finer and finer distinctions between those who are in and those who are out. We begin by distinguishing between believers and unbelievers, and before long we're subdividing believers into true believers and believers who almost get it right. Got it? And believers who are, well, they're in the ballpark, but they're not quite where they need to be. And then we begin to wonder whether those are in the ballpark are believers at all, because they might be in the ballpark, but really they don't believe what we believe, and so they don't have the faith that we have, and so they don't really have faith at all. Delusion? Okay. Well, I'll catch up. Or maybe you will. I was debating a friend of mine. He went to a Methodist church. And we were talking about whether or not Christians who call themselves Methodists should really be called Christians at all, because they didn't believe what we Baptists believed. Are you catching up? Yeah. Once saved, always saved. Some of you don't even know what once saved, always saved means. So, yeah. But in some theological circles, I mean, you could lose your eternal soul for not believing this. I'm serious. And we talked about marrying outside the faith. What did that mean? A Presbyterian. Right? You're marrying outside the faith. Catholic. Oh, there we go. Okay, so we're going to distinguish this faith. Do you see where this is going? Gosh, you know, we've reduced Christianity to a series of propositions, a checklist of doctrines, check them all off, and bingo, you're a Christian. And you might be mean as a snake and unchristlike in everything you do. But if you can check off the right beliefs, then you're a Christian. And to others, belief is not all that important. What's important is that you've got a trusting relationship with God. The Bible says that even the devil believes and trembles, James 2:19. And these folks are big on mystery. These folks who say the important thing is that you trust in Jesus, that you have belief in Jesus. And there's mystery, there's ambiguity, there's this loose understanding of what truth is or isn't, or where it might come from. And then we have books that love wins. And so if you just believe that love wins, then that makes you Christian, because you're trusting, right? And so we have this cold dogmatism on the one hand, and we've got warm-hearted vacuity on the other, and they're obvious overstatements. I always hated when my professor said there are two extreme positions on the issue, and the far right and the far left, and I hated it because I knew what the professor was going to say. What's the professor going to say? The truth is, yeah, right, you got the fork. Just take it. Somewhere in the middle. Just once I wanted my teacher to say, well, they're both wrong, and the truth is way over there on the right. Or the truth is way over there on the left. And, you know, she never did say that. The assumption was always that truth is somewhere in the middle. It isn't. Expedience is always somewhere in the middle. Truth is wherever it is, on the right, on the left, in the middle, wherever. As much as I hate to admit it, maybe I can say it this way. When you come to the fork in the road, the faith road, don't take it. And the truth is far more complicated. Trust and belief are inextricably wed. And faith as trust has to be founded in faith as belief. Or it will be no more than just free-floating good feeling about the universe. Trust presupposes belief, and therefore it matters what we believe. It does matter what we believe, folks. Didn't we learn that September the 11th? It matters what we believe. Will we ever say again that what people believe about religious things doesn't really matter? It matters what we believe about God. It matters what we believe about Jesus. It matters what we believe about the movement of the Spirit in the world. It matters what we believe. Folks, we've established this mission statement, and some of you look at me because I talk about it all the time, and you say, what in the world is this about? This know, grow, and show. Why do we have all these three different components, and why are they so essential to us being the church? And how, folks, I don't believe that we can fulfill the mission of the church unless we're all about knowing and growing and showing. Because you need to develop and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I studied at Oxford University, and there were people there that knew a lot about God. They knew a lot about God, more than I'll ever know about God. But I will tell you this, they did not know God. They didn't know God. They did not know God. And you might find that unbelievable. I did. Sat under them. I listened to them talk about God and about these wonderful, wonderful ideas. Incredible ideas. They knew a lot about God. And then I talked to them and discovered but you don't really know God, do you? You don't know God. So you can read all you want. But if there's not a personal relationship, folks, if there's not a prayer life, if there's not a personal Bible reading, if there's not this personal relationship, if there's not this conversation that takes place when you converse with God, we talked about prayer, it's talking to God, it's listening to God, it's nurturing and developing the relationship with God. When I talk about knowing God, that's what I'm talking about. That's basic belief, isn't it? Is that faith? When you step forward and you say, I trust my life to Jesus Christ, is that faith? Is that faith? And do we dispute it? Any of us? If you walk this aisle and you stand before me and you say, I trust my life to Jesus Christ, I believe you. So does everybody else here. So live like it. Got it? So live like it. That's belief. That's faith. And that's knowing God. But it goes beyond that initial step of faith. It means growing in your relationship with Christ. And how do we do that? Except by nurturing and understanding what we believe about this faith that we have claimed. And they're inextricably wed. This statement of faith is wed to an understanding, because you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So when you make a decision of faith, folks, you make it with all your being, with all of yourself. And it begins with this heart part, but it extends beyond that. And it goes to the mind part. You've got to understand what it is that you believe. And you need to spend time nurturing that understanding. Does that mean that all of us are going to be in the same place on everything we believe? No. But we talk about it. We have conversation about it. We grow in our faith. And we do that best when we nurture that kind of faith with others. You need to have a conversation with others. You need to be in a small group. That's how you grow. You need that. Does it stop there? Your faith? So once you make a decision and you know Christ, and then you begin growing in that relationship with Christ and you nurture that relationship with others. By the way, we're going to be starting small groups, and every single one of you who's a member of the church will be in a small group. You don't get to choose. I get to choose. You're going to be in a small group. Sorry. It's with your neighbors. Now, I have some people who tell me, I don't like my neighbors. Well, that's kind of part of what it means to nurture a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only are you supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all the strength, with all your mind, but you're supposed to do what? We got two. You got another one that goes with it. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't love myself so much, so who cares about loving my neighbor, right? That's easy. I don't even like me, so I don't have to like them. It doesn't work that way. So we're going to be doing this in the fall. Got it? You're going to be in a small group. You're going to grow in your relationship with God. I'm going to give you a material about it. And you're going to spend time with your neighbors. And you're going to be talking on a weekly basis with them about what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. It's essential, folks, that we do this. Because what you believe is important to your faith. It's important that you have these conversations. That's growing. What's the last one? So how do we do that? Well, that's the loving your neighbor part. Who's my neighbor? People in India? My neighbor? People who live in Appalachia, are they my neighbor? People who live in the inner city of Roanoke, are they my neighbor? If you are a Christian, you're in a community of faith. I have a lot of people tell me, I can be a Christian but not be in a community of faith. No, you can't. You're in a community of faith. Even if you deny you're in a community of faith, you're still in a community of faith. Why? Because you're a Christian. That's like saying, I'm a human, but I don't have a family. Are you kidding me? You've got a family. Everybody's got a family. I'm a Christian and God is my father, but I don't have any brothers and sisters. I'm an only child. You think you're an only child? Sorry. You're not. You got brothers and sisters. And God is our father. And if you claim this belief about being a Christian and you say that you are, then you are a child of God. that's who you are. And you have brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not. You're in a family. Got it? You are in a family. And I know some of these brothers and sisters, I don't care for much either. It's all good. But you're in a family. It's like the joke. You heard it about the fellow that woke up on Sunday morning and he said, his mom came in, she said, son, you need to get up and go to church. And he said, I don't want to go. They don't like me and I don't like them. She said, you got to go. You got to go. You get up and get dressed. You're going to church. He said, I don't want to go. You got to go. You're the pastor. Y'all can share that one if you want. I liked it. Faith is a belief. Faith is a trust. Authentic faith is that first step in knowing Christ. And then you grow in Christ. And then you show Christ. And that's what it means to be a person of faith. God didn't give us a spirit of cowardice. Paul said, rather, a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Join me with in the suffering for the gospel, relying on, trusting in the power of God who saved us, who called us to this holy calling. Faith that lives is faith that sustains us in hard times. And if you haven't gone through hard times yet, I will assure you, you will. Because your faith won't protect you from the hard times, but it will sustain you through them. It's a faith that says to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey. And I've been disappointed lately by people of faith, the lack of resolve, the lack of maturity, the commitment to worship, the lack of faith. Today I want to call us to deepen our faith, to resolve our hearts, to commit ourselves more fully to God, to give some serious thought to the content of our faith and what we believe and how it applies to the way that we live our life. And let us ask our Lord, as disciples of Jesus Christ, increase my faith. Will you make that your prayer? Increase my faith. Firm up my belief, God. Deepen my trust, Lord, so that even in the hardest times, I can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I've got good news, folks. Your faith will carry you home. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, increase our faith. Help us to trust, even with everything else going on around us, to simply trust. God, every single one of us here has to trust. We've got to trust you more in some way. And help us in our belief to work out our understanding of what it means to be a disciple for you. To be committed to grow in our faith and to understand all that it means to be a Christian person. And to be examples of faith to others as we show your love in very real ways and make a difference in the lives of others. of those that we meet. Thank you for this church, for our family, for our family of faith, as we journey together as brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen.